good. Thank you for being here today. Amen. All right. That's good. What a great song. Amen. That was tremendous. Thank you. It's good. Thank you. Take your Bibles and thank you so much. Thank you so much. Stay standing and take your Bibles to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter number 12. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you. Mark chapter number 12. And appreciate your enthusiasm. Good stuff. How could you not want to come to a place like this? Come on. My, my, my. Thank you, Brother Collins, for the great singing. And praise the Lord. Spirit-filled. Appreciate that. Brother Douglas, thank you for the leadership here at the college. I want to thank all the guests for being here. And we really do pray that the Lord would lead you. That's what it's all about. It's all about Jesus. It's all about the cross and the sacrifice that he made for us. And we pray that he would lead you as you seek his will and what you should do with your life. Mark chapter number 12. Thank you for the good testimonies from the students. But I love the strength of youth. I look at this room and I just wonder, you know, Brother Douglas made that comment. He said he couldn't see in the back, and that's because he's getting old. And, no, but he said he couldn't see in the back. And then when he came back, he looked at me and he said, don't worry. He said, you'll get there. You'll get there soon. And about 40 years. No, but he said, just kidding. But he said, you'll get there soon. And I thought to myself, you know, that's very true. I'll get there sooner than I want to get there. Then I looked at this crowd and I thought about the strength of youth. What could God do if the strength of youth was used for him in this day and time? Brother Charlie, one of my friends and heroes in the ministry, a good man. He mentioned in his prayer, I think, help us to serve you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. I believe God wants to speak to us this afternoon. In preparing for college days, I, of course, asked the Lord, what would you have me to preach? I'm honored, humbled to be here, privileged, don't deserve it. And what would you want me to preach? And I was looking through some sermons, looking through some notes. I was going to preach a message on Wednesday in our high school chapel, and God changed my direction just kind of last second. I thought, well, that would be a good message to preach. The message that I was going to preach, that would be a good message to preach. And as I was looking through, I came to this sermon, to this passage of scripture. I've preached it one other time in my life. Only once have I preached it, and it was several years ago. And God impressed on my heart that this would be the message for the hour. And so in Mark chapter number 12, I want you to look at verse number 28. Jesus is, of course, answering the Pharisees and the Sadducees. These were men who knew the scripture. They had a head knowledge of the scripture, the Old Testament. They were very smart men who would trip people up oftentimes and asking them difficult questions. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the rulers of the day. But when they came to Jesus, they tried, but they could not. that you cannot confuse the word with the word. And so in trying to ask him some difficult questions, we come to verse number 28, and the Bible says, "And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all?" Said, "Jesus, why don't you sum it up for us? Why don't you boil it down for us and give to us the first commandment? Give us the greatest commandment. Looking at all of the Word of God, give us the greatest commandment of all, the first commandment of all." Without missing a beat, the Lord answered in verse 29. He said, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength." This passage is visited again in the book of Matthew, chapter number 22. You can see the account in verse number 34 through 40, I think. But I like Mark's account of the confrontation more, because he adds something that is not found in Matthew's account. He adds, look if you would, verse number 30, and talking about loving the Lord, he says, "Do it with all your strength." Do it with all the strength of youth. Love God. With all the energy, the strength that you possess, love God. The second commandment is namely this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Father, would you bless the message today? And Lord, in the few moments that we have together with an open Bible and a surrendered preacher, would you meet with us, God? God, would you help us to leave this place loving you differently than when we came in? Lord, these are wonderful young people. What a great college. Thank you for the visitors and the guests and the good homes represented and churches and pastors and faithful people. For them to even consider a place like Hiles Anderson College, we're humbled. And Lord, we know that they love you, but help us to leave this place loving you differently, loving you with all of our strength. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. In studying the passage in Mark, Brother Pins, you'll appreciate this. I saw you back there. You'll appreciate this. And in studying the passage in Mark and comparing it to Matthew's account, where this little phrase is added, with all of your strength, I came across something really remarkable. What the Lord is saying here in the book of Mark is this: the verse is teaching, with all of your strength, love God with all of your heart. With all of your strength, love God with all of your mind. With all of your strength, love God with all of your soul. Of course, Jesus is quoting from the book of Deuteronomy, a book that he quoted from more than any other book in the Bible. He quoted from Deuteronomy 80 times. And in Deuteronomy chapter number 6, he says that the great commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul. And he says, with all of your might. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently as thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou risest up, when thou sittest down. And so we see the Lord bringing it all together and putting this great capstone on it, saying, when it comes to loving God, you can't do it half in and half out. When it comes to loving God, you can't just do it on Sunday. And may I add, you can't just do it on Saturday and on Sunday, and you can't just do it during a six-week program, and that's not how you love God. But you do it like this. You do it with all of your strength, with everything that you have, every single day. I tell our teenagers often, God doesn't ask for much. He just wants everything. And with everything that you have, 24 hours a day, Jesus said, with all of the strength of youth, love me that way with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. I wonder what God could do with the strength of youth. I wonder what could be unleashed on this country if all of us, like soldiers, left this place with one mission, to love God with everything that we have. I wonder how our churches would change, and how our homes would change, and how our communities would change if we left this place possessed, using all of our strength to love God, not just on Saturday, not just on Sunday, but every day, to love Him with everything that we have. I've asked three guys to come up here and to simply illustrate. So gentlemen, come on up. Let's go. Let's see here. These are three of the finest here at Hiles Anderson College. Actually, we have two of the finest and Simon. And so why don't you guys come on up, get into position here. We have Joe Woosley, and we have Simon Cervantes. We have Dave Cowling here. You guys go ahead and get in position. And Brother Collins, why don't you count for me, Mr. Cowling there, and Brother King, why don't you count Simon? Have fun with that. And Brother Douglas, why don't you count Joe Woosley? I saw this the other day, and Brother Lutz, military, why don't you stand back there in judgment, okay? Like the Pharisees of the time we're talking about. But I love you, brother. But what we're going to do, do some push-ups, all right? We're do some push-ups. Now, I chose these guys on purpose. I chose them, first of all, because I love them very much, and I'd like to put some pain in their life today, but I chose them for this reason. It was 4 years ago, I was at our first school camp, and I saw Joe and I saw Dave do this particular contest, and I was impressed. I was impressed. They did those push-ups, didn't stop, didn't quit. I don't know how many they'll do. We'll do a little contest, and Brother Douglas will, whoever wins, he'll pay their school bill this semester. But, yeah, that's right. So, gentlemen, I'm going to preach for a while, and while I preach, you guys go ahead and you count, please. You guys count. Solid push-ups. And guys, don't stop. Give it everything that you have. This is pretty impressive, all right? Go ahead, and if you guys are ready to count, you guys go ahead and go. Let's go. Oh, come on now, all the way down, all the way up. That is good. You know, the Lord Jesus said, He said to love me with all of your heart. He said to love me with all of your soul. Love me with all of your mind. And love me with all of your strength. And young people, somewhere along the line, you're going to have to answer the love question. Who is it that you love? Who is it that you give your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength to? Who is it that you're going to say, here's my life, here's my everything, I love you with all that I have? I can remember walking into a Brown's Chicken. I worked at Brown's Chicken years ago. Let's see how we're doing here. Where are we at, Brother Douglas? 86. Where are we at, Brother King? Huh? 82. Where are we at, Anthony? 72 here out of the big man. All right. So, I could keep going, guys. Keep on going. I could remember walking into a Brown's Chicken, and when I walked in, there was a lady, a girl that I worked with there. Her name is Erica, and Erica was beside herself. She was distraught. We were both just teenagers, but she was crying, and she said, oh, and I said, what is it, Erica? And she said this. She said, Tupac. Tupac loved us. That's what she said. Tupac loved us. I said, Tupac? I said, who is Tupac? And she said, Tupac loved us. I found out that Tupac, a rapper, had been shot and had been killed. And Erica was all upset because Tupac loved her. And I looked at her and I said, Erica, have you ever met Tupac? She said, no. Simon's grunting, pay no attention. She said, no, I've never met Tupac. I said, Erica, Tupac didn't love you. He didn't even know you. Hey, young people, you're going to have to answer the love question. You're going to have to answer the question, who do I love with all of my heart, with all of my soul, and with all of my strength? Where are we at, Brother Douglas? How many? 124. How many, Brother Collins? 105. How many over here, Brother King? How many real ones? 85. Keep going, guys. Give me a few more. Now, young people. Hey, here we go. Look at their faces. Hey, look at it. Boy, they love this, don't they? It's embarrassing. Hey, young people, watch this. Watch this. Hear them. Give everything that they have. Look at the sweat. Look at the determination. Let me tell you what I know about these three guys. They're not going to stop. Here's what I know. The reason that they're up here and you're not, the reason they're up here and I'm not, is because I know that these three guys are not going to stop. They will literally do this until I am done preaching. They will do this until their arms fall off. Hey! They will hate me 5 minutes after this sermon. But I'll say this about Dave, and I'll say this about Simon, and I'll say this about Joe. They will give all of their strength. And young people, this is how you're supposed to love God. Hey, hey, listen to me. This is the energy you're supposed to give to your Bible reading. This is how you're supposed to go soul winning. Hey, young people, this is how you're supposed to stand for God with your friends. Not half in, not just on Sunday, but with all of your strength, with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. Love me until there's nothing left. Love me until you collapse. Love me until your last dying breath. What's the greatest commandment, Jesus? Simple. Love me like this. He did that on purpose. Guys, let's see who won. How many do we have? Joe Woosley. 174. 174. How many out of Simon? 85 good ones and a lot of noise. How many do we have right here? 154. Thank you, guys. Let's give them a big hand. Hey, it's a radical truth. It's a radical truth. Take all your strength. Love me with all of your mind. Take all of your strength. Love me with all of your heart. Take everything that you have and love me with all of your soul. I want to give you a few thoughts today and I'll be through. First of all, with all your strength, love God with all your heart. With all your strength, love God with all your soul. With all your strength, love God with all your mind. We live in a filthy world. We live in a world where it's easy for our minds to get polluted. And we've almost chosen to coexist with sin. And everybody's looking and everybody's doing it. And Jesus said, love me with all of your strength. Love me with all of your mind. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true and whatsoever things are honest and whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things with all your strength. Do what you have to do, young people, to keep your minds clean. Do what you have to do. Listen, grind it out. Use some sweat. Use some energy. Do what it takes to keep your mind unspotted from the filthiness of the this world with all your strength. Love me with all of your mind. Let me say this, with all of your strength, deal with your sin. Hey, with all of your strength, deal with your sin. Man, I love the people in this room, and I think you're unbelievable. I really do. I think you're great students, but look, you know and I know that there's sin in this room. With all of your strength, deal with your sin. Let me tell you the two most dangerous sins. that exist in this room right now, the sin that doesn't bother you anymore and the sin that you think you're getting by with. Those are the two most dangerous sins that exist in this room. Hey, there was a time, young people, why don't you just admit, there was a time when you first got saved. There was a time when you first got right, where any little sin, any little shadow of darkness that was in your heart, boy, it bothered you. And you were the first at the altar to confess it. You were the first at the altar to forsake it. But you've learned to live with it. And now it's there, and it doesn't bother you anymore. And it's dangerous. With all your heart, with all your strength, deal with your sin. Hey, God will use anybody, but he prefers to use somebody that's clean. Let me ask you a question, Hiles Anderson College. Are you clean? If you were to stand before God right now, would you stand before God with clean hands, with a clean heart, with a pure mind? If not, then with all of your strength, deal with your sin. The sin that you think you're getting away with. Hey, you don't get away with sin. You do understand that, don't you? Nobody gets away with sin. Boy, you can cover it like Moses did in the sands of Egypt, but a wind will come by and uncover your sin. With all of your strength, deal with your sin. See, we're in a race. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. With all of your strength, deal with your sin. Let me say this, with all of your strength, get up when you fall. The devil is a master at keeping you low because of your sin. The devil is a master. The testimony was said today. I came to this place and I looked around and everybody was nice and everybody, here's what she was saying. Everybody seemed perfect. And I'm not. And let me tell you something. The devil loved to throw that in your face. You can't go to Bible college. You can't serve God. Look at your past. Look at your mistakes. Look at the sin that you've had. And I'm saying this, with all of your strength, get up when you fall. You realize that Paul was a persecutor of the church. You realize that Paul was the chief of sinners. You realize that it was Paul, that great apostle, who would march into homes and separate families, who would consent to the death of Stephen. You realize it was Paul who had all kinds of a past to forget. But he said this, he said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are before and reaching forth unto those things which are in front, I press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." And some of you need to just learn, yes, you have fallen. Yes, you have made mistakes. Yes, you can dwell there, but you need to forget the past. You need to, with all of your strength, you need to rise up when you fall and get back up again. The Bible says a just man falleth 7 times, but riseth up again. There's not a single person in this room who hasn't fallen from time to time. There's not a single person in this room who hasn't made mistakes from time to time. But young people, the greatest sin is to stay there and to never get back up. And with all of your strength, get up when you fall. With all of your strength, love God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength. Let me say this, with all of your strength, pursue God. The greatest pursuit is the pursuit of God. Ravenhill said this, as long as we are content to live without revival, we will. And young people, as long as you are content to barely know God in relationship, you will. As long as you are content to never have an answered prayer, you will. As long as you're content to never know what it is to spend a sweet hour of prayer with God in a prayer closet, to have the peace of God flood over your soul, as long as you're content to live that way, you will. Hey, as long as you're content to be an empty, fruitless, barren Christian, not having the hand of God or the power of God on your... The Bible says this in Matthew 5:6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Friend, there's a difference when you hunger for something, when you thirst for something, you'll do almost anything to have it. And when you hunger for the power of God and you thirst for the presence of God, let me tell you something, with all of your strength, when you pursue God that way, it's a blessed thing. But as long as you're content to be ordinary, as long as you're content to not know God in power, you will. I can remember many a camp going to the altar and just staying and praying and asking God to use me and asking God to fill me. I can remember spending late hours praying and hungering and thirsting. Saying, God, I don't want to be average and I don't want to be comfortable with my Christian life. I know that there's something more. With all your strength. Let me ask you a question. Are you pursuing God today? Are you pursuing God with all of your strength? When I first got saved, my dad and my grandfather, when I surrendered to preach, my dad and my grandfather, they were very harsh. Muslim people. My dad a Muslim, my grandfather a hardcore Muslim, and very harsh. Frankly, I've only had a handful of conversations with my grandfather since I was 16 years old. It was difficult. It was rejection. My grandma, we called her Vovo, she's in eternity now. My grandma came to me and she said, Abdel, she said, do you know why your dad and your grandfather are being so harsh? And I said, yeah, Vovo, I think I do. I said, they're Muslim, and I'm a Christian, and I want to be a preacher. She said, yes. She said, that's it. But that's not all of it. She told me a story, and I don't tell the story often. When I do tell the story, I say this. I've never verified the story. I don't even know how I could, but this is what she said. She said, Abdel, they are upset that you're a Christian. They are upset that you're going to be a preacher. She said, but there's more to it than that. And she said, you have a relative. Your great, great, and unfortunately for the life of me, I do not remember. If she said uncle, grandfather, I do not remember. She said, but he was in the village of Ramallah, where you're from, there in the Middle East. She said he was a respected man. He was a businessman like all of the family is. She said he was respected and he had a family. She said he had two sons. And one day he showed up. This is my lost grandmother, Vovo, talking to me, explaining my grandfather and my father's harshness towards my call to preach. She said one day he showed up with a book in his hand. She said he lost his mind, Abdel. He went crazy with this book. He went crazy talking on the corners and crying out. She said that he would say, God, help me to love this book and help my sons to love this book and their sons to love this book. She said, Abdel, they would have killed him, but he was respected and they just decided to let him live. She said, Abdel, he lost everything. He lost his family. He lost his business. He lost the respect of the community. She said, Abdel, the children would go and would throw rocks at him. He was a laughing stock and he died. She said, one day they found him, Abdel, in an alleyway. He was homeless. He had no business. He had no family. His sons never did listen. Their sons never did listen. They found him dead. They found him homeless. He didn't even have shoes on his feet. All he had was that book on his chest. And he died that way. She said, Abdel, I can't speak for your father, but I can speak for your grandfather. He's scared to death that you're going to end up like that. He's scared to death that that's going to be your future. He said, they laughed at him, and he was a laughing stock, and they don't want that for you. They don't want that for you. I thought to myself many times, Brother Douglas, as I've preached to a crowd like this, I'll preach tonight to 40-some-odd churches in Akron, Ohio, and I'll think, you know, there's a man somewhere, if the story is true, there's a man somewhere in my DNA, there's a man somewhere way back in the line who knew what it was to love God with all of his strength, who knew what it was to love God with all of his heart, who knew what it was to love God with all of his mind, and to give everything, and I thank God nobody ever listened to him. His sons never listened to him. His sons' sons never listened to him. But hey, he's hearing me preach right now. And there's all kinds of people listening right now. And I'm thankful that I have an example of somebody who loved God with all of their strength. What would be said about you? What would it be said about your conduct in the dorms, on the bus? Come on now, how's your relationship with the Word of God? It's only the greatest commandment. Love me with all of your strength. Love God. I'm going to end on this point. There's more points, but I'll end on this. Love him with all of your strength, because he gave all his strength to love you. How could you hear a song like it was just sung? The power of the cross. How can you think for a moment on Jesus? Hey, Hiles Anderson, how can you think for a moment about the sacrifice of the Lord and only be half in your service to God? How can you think for a moment about all that he gave? See him there sweating in the garden. See him there on his knees saying, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. See him sweating great drops of blood like Dave was sweating just a moment ago. See him with all of his strength in prayer. See him, and hey, thinking about you and thinking about me, how could you see him sweating in the garden? How could you see him bleeding? How could you see the Son of God bleeding? The crown of thorns on his brow, the cat of nine tails on his back. See him there, nailed to an old rugged cross. See the strips of flesh hanging down to his knees as they ripped open his body. See it. See the blood flow, Brother Collins, and realize that it was for you and it was for me. And how could you see him sweating? How could you see him bleeding? How could you see him struggling? How could you see him walking the way of the cross with the burden of the cross on his back, on that bloody back? How could you see him taking a step and another step and the whole time being mocked and the whole time being jeered and laughed at? And there he is. He's taking another step and he's taking another step. His knees are wobbly now. He's losing his mind a little bit. He can't barely see but for the swelling and the blood in his eyes. And he's taking another step and, oh no, now we have to go up a hill. Now it's even more difficult. And yes, he takes another step with all of his strength and with all of his heart and with all of his soul. He finally collapses beneath the weight of the cross. And as he collapses, they compel somebody to come and to pick up the back of the cross. Something very interesting. The Bible never says that he completely abandoned the cross. Never does say that. And by the way, how could he command us to carry our cross if he didn't carry his? The Bible says that Simon came up behind. In other words, to pick up the back of the cross. Now I see two people carrying a cross. Now I see two people going up a hill. I see Christ in the front struggling. I see him sweating. I see him bleeding. I see Simon in the back saying, oh no, walking in each step that Simon walked and carrying his cross. He was following in the step of Christ as he carried his cross. Friend, how can you see that and be half in? How can you see that and say, I'll give God a year, then go do what I want to do? With all of your strength. Boy, I love what the Bible says. The Bible says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us. He suffered for us. Why did he sweat? Why did he bleed? Why did he struggle, Brother Douglas? He did it for us. He did it for you. He did it for me. He did it for you. And all he says in return is, love me. Love me with all of your strength. Hey, you know what it is to grind in a weight room. You know what it is to cram for an exam. You know what it is to pour yourself, all of you, into something. That's how you're supposed to love God. Do you love Him that way, young people? Do you love Him with all of your strength, or have you allowed the sin of this world to take occupancy in your heart? Do you love Him with all of your strength? Do you love others that way? With all of your strength. Finally, I said, with all your strength, love Him with all your heart, with all your strength, love Him with all your mind, with all your strength, love Him with all your soul, with all your strength, get up when you fall, with all your strength, love Him because He first loved you. Perhaps the very heartbeat of Hiles Anderson College, with all your strength, save others. With all of your strength, young people, with all that you know, with all that you've been given, with all of the Word of God that you possess, with all of your great heritage and churches, with all of your strength, save others. It's January 13th, 1982. Arland Williams was boarding a plane at Reagan National Airport. I've been there in D.C. many times. It was a wintry day. It was a cold day. As he got in his plane, he looked out the window and he saw the people come and de-ice the plane. They pour that solution on the wings and they de-ice the plane. He was watching that happen, exhausted from a long business trip, making his way back to Chicago. Arland Williams was a graduate of the Citadel, and in order to attend the Citadel, he had to pass a swim test. While he did pass the test, he was scared to death of water, scared to death of deep water. They de-iced that plane, and the pilot knew something was wrong, but decided to go ahead and take off anyways. And on that fateful day in January 13th, the plane lifted up off the runway over the Potomac River and didn't get the lift that it needed to get to clear the 14th Street Bridge. And that plane, full of passengers, slammed into the 14th Street Bridge there in Washington, D.C., overlooking the Potomac, the icy Potomac River. Only six of the 79 passengers in the plane lived and survived the initial crash. Everybody else was dead. Those six were left in the wreckage there, hanging on to the icy wings of the wreckage of the plane, and there in the Potomac River, of course, ambulances were dispatched immediately. Helicopters were dispatched to save those that remained. Arland Williams was the first one that the helicopter came to. He looked into the eyes of the person who was handing him the ropes and handing him the buoy and the life preserver. And as he handed it to Arland Williams, the story says that Arland Williams, scared to death of water, exhausted already, took the very device that would lift him out of that water into safety, and he passed it on to the person next to him. And they went to safety and came back down and passed it on to the person next to him. And the pilot is watching this, and he did this once and twice and three times and four times, and he easily could have saved himself five times, but he kept passing the rope. He kept saving others. He kept passing the rope. The captain cried out, "You're too tired. Take the rope." And he passed on the rope to the next person. And on the final pass, when the pilot returned, Arland Williams was gone. Had given all of his strength to save others. One of these days, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We'll stand before the great white throne judgment, young people. So preoccupied with our sin and our life and our world and our comfort. Places around this world will perish without Christ. And we'll stand before the great white throne judgment and we'll see Him pass by. And I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus? How about it, Hiles Anderson? What's the greatest commandment? To sum it all up, how would you sum it all up? Live for God, make some money on the side. That's how you sum it all up. How would you sum it all up? Hey, let's trip him up. There he is. He's real smart. Let's come on. What's the greatest commandment? The first. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and with all your strength. What would happen if the strength of youth was used by God in this day? Would you bow your heads, please, and close your eyes?